How many people do you know who struggle with their health? Chances are, whether they show it or not, most of the people in your life do. And chances are, you're one of them. Whether you're dealing with anxiety, depression, endometriosis, acne, eczema, autoimmune, thyroid, Lyme, brain fog, fatigue, or any other symptom or condition, you're far from alone. Living with symptoms has become the new normal. So no more guessing games. It's time to get answers. Welcome to the Medical Medium Podcast. I'm Anthony Williams.
We're talking about taste. Everybody has a different taste. Everybody likes different flavors. Everybody has a different opinion to what they like, what they like to eat, what tastes good to them. Their taste has a lot more control over them than they even know. And we get taught growing up, does that taste good? Does that taste bad? Taste this, taste that. Get ready for a reality check and fasten your seatbelts, because what you're going to learn here might leave a bad taste in your mouth. Yeah. No, Grandma, I love this place. Yeah. I ordered a burrito. Yeah. Let me just bite into it. These burritos aren't so bad. But this one's not as good as it usually is. Grandma, what'd you get? Beef Wellington? How is it? You like it? No? You like the buttered noodles next to it? Okay. Well, that's understandable. You want me to try that? What? You have a crab cake? Oh, okay. I'll try it.
Yeah.
Grandma, it's awful.
Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, excuse me, ma'am? Ma'am, can you bring me a glass of water? I have to rinse my mouth out. Yeah. Okay. Grandpa, what's wrong with the pizza? You have a face on you. What's wrong? It's not as good as your favorite pizza place? It's a pizza, Grandpa. I mean, it looks like it tastes great.
You hear it out there all the time. I don't like this food. I don't like the taste of that food. Or the food tastes better in Europe. Or the pizza's better in New York. Or this is too sour. This is bland. I don't like the texture. It's all about texture. It's the consistency I don't care for. I just don't like that. That's too tart. That's too salty. That's too sweet. Oh, I don't like sweets. I never eat sweets. I don't like savory. I like crunchy. I need something to crunch, 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 crunch. I need something to crunch on all the time. I need my crunch fix. I like to crunch chips in my mouth. I love flavor, spicy. I want things really, really spicy. I want things hot. I'm a foodie. Everybody's got their thing. They got their way to eat. They got their tastes. They got their likes. They sit down and eat. They stand up and eat. They eat laying down. They watch TV and eat. They go to the movies and eat. They eat with people. Can't eat with anybody. They have to eat alone. Everybody's got a different twist, a different liking, and a different taste and a different flavor profile. In reality, everyone wants to eat what they want to eat. If everybody had their dream eats, it would be eating anything they ever wanted all the time. If somebody loves chocolate, they wish they can eat chocolate all day long. If someone loves chocolate cake, they wish they can eat chocolate cake all day long. If someone loves ice cream, they wish they can eat ice cream all day long. People have their favorite foods, and people want to eat their favorite foods. They find comfort in their favorite foods. Humans love to indulge. That's how it works on planet Earth. Humans want to indulge in the things they love. It's called addictions. Doesn't matter if it's food. Doesn't matter if it's something else. Doesn't matter if it's alcohol, drugs, sex, food, or some other crazy thing out there. They love to indulge. And then so many of us have emotional injuries around food, whether being told when they were a child not to eat a certain food, or being force-fed a certain food, or just being told you have to eat this food, or you take food that was given to you to go to school with, and it's the only food you have, so you have to eat it, and then maybe you get sick of it. So as you grow up and get older, you're like, I'm never going to eat that sandwich ever again. And then if somebody comes from a family that didn't have enough money to buy certain foods, and they only had certain foods to eat that were on the table, and that was what was there, and you couldn't do anything about it, that can create an emotional injury around food as well. And then if you're a teenager or young adult and you want to eat differently because you're witnessing a friend eat differently and they're eating a little bit healthier, and you're young and you want to eat healthier, it could be seen instantly by a family or friends or somebody or school teachers as if you have a bad eating disorder. And then you hear that phrase, that famous, infamous phrase, the one that has darkness behind it at the same time. Where's your protein? You hear this when you're younger. You hear this when you're older. You hear this all the time. It's out there. Where's your protein? The concern of protein. You're going to die if you don't get enough protein. And as you try to pave your way, forge ahead, eating healthier in your life, or changing the course in the foods you're choosing, the protein phrase is in your head. So everything you do, everything you touch, you're doubting how much protein you're getting. You're concerned about the protein. People are telling you, is there enough protein? Or asking you, is there enough protein? And that becomes something that sits inside your consciousness, in your soul, and it doesn't leave. It can stay in there forever and alter how you think about food and even your tastes. Remember this. Everyone has issues around eating. There's no one out here. There's no one on planet Earth. There's no one probably in the galaxy or even in the universe that doesn't have an issue around food. There's never been a perfect situation anywhere regarding food. Our forebears waited in line during the Depression for a loaf of bread, and they never forgot that. They passed the stories on, and along those stories went. And even today, we have wars, and there's concerns about food, and there's famine everywhere on this planet. And then there's people who just can't simply afford food, or people that are homeless, and they just don't even have a home to even set up a meal. And even when everything is just great, perfect, there's plenty of money, plenty of affordability. Someone can actually buy all the food they want. They can go to the best restaurants. They can eat in restaurants every day, the most highest priced decadent restaurant food fare. They can have it. It's there. They still have issues. They still have issues around foods. You see it on social. You'll see somebody with all the means in the world. They could buy what they want, all the food they want. They can eat all these decadent meals. They can show it on their social media feeds. And you can see them complaining. They're complaining about their food, which food, where they're getting it, what they're eating, how they feel. Meanwhile, somebody on the other side of the world is suffering, all huddled together in some dwelling where bombs are going off, or there's just no way to get any food, and they're really struggling. They have nothing to eat, maybe haven't eaten in weeks. And then you see it on social, these people. They'll blame their fears, they'll blame their concerns, they'll blame their worries, they'll blame their problems, they'll blame people, they'll blame the healthy diet they're eating, they'll blame anything and everything, they'll blame it all on their food. And there are endless variations of emotional wounds that people have, things that have happened in their life, things that have happened in school, things that have happened because of their friends, things that have happened because of their family, experiences, struggles, hardships. It ends up making a massive amount of combinations of issues that can all get funneled into food in the end. And not only can someone have endless emotional injuries, they can also have something physically going on, different level of toxins, poisons, exposures, pharmaceuticals in their life, all through their life. Everything and anything from toxic heavy metals, other contamination that gets into the brain in their body. And that can alter how they see food or even taste food. No two people are the same. No two people have the same experiences emotionally, physically. There are endless, endless combinations of experiences. And this plays a role in how they taste and see food. If you're with a friend or a family member, and you're eating the same pizza they're eating, and both of you are enjoying it immensely, your family member is saying how much they love it, they're eating it, it tastes so good, it's a great pizza place, and you're agreeing, saying it's incredible, this stuff is bomb, it is delicious, it is amazing, I'm going to buy another pizza here, and both of you are enjoying it, both of you are not tasting the same thing. As you're eating it, you're connected. You know what you're tasting. You're enjoying it. Little sweet, little salty, nice and doughy. You're tasting the sauce. You taste the cheese. You can taste a little bit of basil. It's hitting your brain. You're in love with this slice of pizza as it's going down. You're trying to hold back. You're trying not to shove it all down at once. You're trying to take your time a little bit. But you can taste it and you know what you're tasting to a degree. You may not be an expert at all the flavor profiles, but you feel it and you know it. And at the same time, the person that you're eating with is experiencing the same thing in that way. They have a connection. They taste a little bit of the basil. They taste the sauce. They taste the sweetness of the sauce. They taste the cheese. They like their crust. They're enjoying it. They love it. But what you're tasting is not what they're tasting. Both of you are tasting two different things. Our brains control our experience. They control the flavor. Our tongues, those are just tools. Our tongues, as a tool, could get dirty. And when they get dirty, like if we have a stick of gum or we smoke a cigarette, it can alter the taste buds. But still, it's all deriving from our brain. Yes, we can saturate our tool, which is our tongue. We can contaminate it. It can get dirty with other things and toxins, cigarette smoke, different artificial flavorings. It can alter it as far as a tool, but that's as far as it goes. The brain is where it's all happening. With flavor contamination placed aside, the controls and the experience come from the brain, central nervous system. Signals travel back and forth between the cranial nerves. So if there's any kind of interference in the brain, like toxic heavy metals, something toxic inside the brain, then it can alter how we perceive flavors inside our mouth, because the cranial nerves either become poisoned or neurons sending messages to these nerves become poisoned. So if the brain has any kind of solvents, MSG, toxic heavy metals, petrochemicals, pesticides, herbicides, other toxic chemicals, or viral neurotoxins from HSV-1 or any virus stored up in brain tissue, then that can affect whether someone likes or dislikes certain foods and drink. And if someone has an elevated amount of mercury inside their brain and it's affecting their cranial nerves in any way possible, it can change how cilantro tastes. It can make it so cilantro is not pleasing, doesn't have a good flavor, doesn't taste good, doesn't feel good on the palate, until the mercury is going away. So as the mercury is decreasing and the metals are leaving the brain, cilantro starts to become pleasing, agreeable. This can change and alter depending on where the mercury is, but there are thousands and thousands of testimonials from people who are doing the medical medium heavy metal detox. And as they're doing it, they start out hating cilantro, or they always did hate cilantro. And as they go along and they're getting rid of the mercury, the toxic heavy metals, what's happening is they all of a sudden become in love with cilantro. It's pleasing. It's agreeable. They like it. And it becomes part of their life as if they should have never had it out of their diet to begin with. They love it now. Contaminants do other things inside people's brains. not just alter the flavor, but alter things like consistency issues. Like someone will be like, I don't like avocado because I don't like the texture. I don't like anything mushy. I can't do it. I only like crunchy things. Or I like to sink my teeth in something. And if I can't sink my teeth into it, then I'm not going to like it. These are messages coming from the brain. And a lot of those messages can be derived from the toxic heavy metals inside the brain, rerouting electrical impulses, messing with neurotransmitters, and a combination of emotional injuries throughout life, whether from childhood or adulthood. But the combination of emotional issues, emotional injuries, combination of that, plus the toxic heavy metals and other contaminants, all put together, make it so there are millions and millions and billions of combinations of how people see food, feel food, taste food, and enjoy food. Back 2,000 years ago, if you were an emperor and you were given by your medicine man a mercury elixir, because that's what happened back then, to treat any kind of issues, and that mercury elixir altered your taste where you can taste food differently and it's not the same, and your chef who made you the same meal that you like every day gives you that same meal and you tasted it and it was awful and tasted like poison, you would then chop off that chef's head. That's how serious people are about food, going all the way back. Dead serious. Here on planet Earth, taste can be the ultimate controller. It can determine how you're going to heal, what you're going to do for yourself. There are people in the world that could have healed if they can get past their taste. People naturally do not like leafy greens. People naturally do not like a bitter leafy green. People don't like lettuces. They have to have the lettuce drowned out by a dressing or cheese or eggs or some sort of oil, vinegar, lots of salt, some sugar, dressings that aren't good for them. People can't just eat a leafy green on its own. It's not easy. It's not desirable. A piece of kale, a collard green. Most people have trouble just eating a piece of fruit, an apple, a berry. Sure, they'll eat it. If you give it to them, it's in their hand. They'll eat it, they'll chew it. But in the end, they don't want to sit there and eat apples all day. And they don't want to sit there and eat raspberries all day. They don't want to sit there and eat melons all day. They don't want to eat really any fruit. And if they eat a piece of fruit, they want to offset it pretty shortly after with something like chicken salad or something else, a hamburger or something else. It's not something people really want to do, is eat a leafy green or eat a piece of fruit, a plum, an apple, a cherry, a berry. For example, if somebody drinks a smoothie, they want milk in that smoothie. They want peanut butter in that smoothie. They want kefir in that smoothie, yogurt. They want something in there, something that kind of brings the temperature down, brings their worries down. The worry of tasting something like an astringent fruit or a bitter green. That's the worry. It becomes a smoothie where it's just a protein-based smoothie with something in there like milk and dairy and yogurt and nut butters and oils. And they want to wash down the medicine away with all of that fat and all of that dairy. And then when you say, hey, how about a sweet potato? Have you had one of those? And they would say, I don't like the texture. I hate yams. I can't eat a sweet potato. Can I put something on it? Can I eat it with something? Or how about a potato, a plain potato? I can't eat a potato plain. I need to have sour cream on it, some cheese, some other things on there, some yogurt or something. Hey, how about an avocado? And like, I don't like the mushy texture. I don't like the consistency. I can't stand guacamole. I've heard so many different things from so many different people, and it gets in their way of healing. And I call it the taste demon. And one of the reasons why I call it the taste demon is because of the trickery that goes on with it. You tell somebody, why don't you try some avocado? They say it's too mushy. They don't like the texture. But then later on that night, they're eating an ice cream in front of the TV. Someone will say they like crunch. They like crunchy things. They like chips. And they can't get off their chips. They need it. It's like their therapy. And I'll say, why don't we do some dehydrated apple chips? They're crunchy. They're delicious. And they'll say no. I'll say to somebody, are you eating that salad every day that I was telling you about? Are you making that salad? They'll say, yes, I'm having my salad every single day. And I still don't feel good, AW. How come? And I'll sit there and I'll scratch my head. And then SOC will say, because their salad has changed. It's got pieces of ham in there, pieces of egg in there. And I'll ask them, what happened to your salad? What's in there? And they'll be like, well, I just feel like I need more protein. So I'm just switching the chickpeas instead of the garbanzo beans you told me about. I'm now putting ham in there. And I have croutons in there too. And I'll be like, well, the croutons are the gluten. Remember the gluten was bothering you? And be like, yeah, I can't help it. I can't eat the salad any other way. The taste demon. I'll say to someone, you can have your celery juice in the morning. You can have your HMDS in the morning. You can have some steamed potatoes for lunch if you really want, or a later lunch in the afternoon. And they'll say, oh no, I can't eat that much in the morning. I can't eat anything in the morning, ever. I need to be not eating. It doesn't make me feel good. I can't eat like that. Say, okay, I respect that. Let's figure something else out. A week later, I'm just not doing good. I'm not feeling good. I'll be like, what you been doing lately? Well, I've been just eating a lot of stuff like in the morning and early afternoon. I'm like, what are you eating? Well, I had pizza out for lunch with a friend in the morning. I had like 4 coffees and decided to eat a Danish. I thought you didn't eat though. I thought you weren't eating in the morning. So you're not going to do the celery juice or the HMDS. But 3 days later, you're going to eat a pizza at noon and you're going to eat a whole bunch of Danishes and so forth. This is the workings of the taste demon. And then I'm talking to somebody and they're like, has to be grass-fed beef, AW. That's what I only eat. It's only grass-fed beef, AW. And free-range, pasture-raised chickens. It's the only thing I eat. It's those things right there. A week later, you talk to them and you're like, okay, give me the whole rundown. What you've been eating every day? I'm like, well, been eating my usual, doing pretty good. And then they say, well, went to a restaurant with a friend. They're like, what'd you order? Chicken. Was it free range? Was it pasture raised? I don't really know. I actually didn't ask. You know, we're just out and whatever. The taste demon. Could go on and on forever. So many different variables, variations. So many different antics and so much trickery. And that's how the taste demon works. And this can get in the way of people heading to the finish line to heal. People who just can't get past it. The taste demon takes over and they gobble down that chocolate bar. They gobble down that chocolate cake. They drink their coffee every single day. They eat something that isn't helping them. They do something that's not helping them in health. They take something that's not helping them. And that same taste demon will even turn that person against somebody because they want to protect their food or their addictions or their indulgences. They want to protect it till the cows come home. And they'll blame somebody else or something else is causing their problems and causing their sickness. And causing their poor health and their poor mental health. It's the taste demon. I eat here all the time. This place is amazing. Yeah, I got my chicken salad coming. Waiter, it's on the way? I've been waiting. All right, here it is. The best chicken salad I've ever had. This is amazing. Thank you. Oh, great. All right, get my napkin ready here. Yeah. What is this? Ugh. This isn't my chicken salad. Waiter, I come here every day. This is not the chicken salad that I eat every day. What do you mean, calm down? I'm telling you, whatever this is, it isn't it. I need to talk to the chef. Please get the chef out here immediately. I'm a customer here. Okay? Chef, what do you think? What are you thinking? What are you saying? It's the same thing? Same ingredients? I don't believe you. It can't be. This tastes terrible. It tastes god-awful. What does it taste like? I don't know. Like, it just, I don't know. Maybe it's bland. I can't tell. I'm not sure what I'm tasting. I just know that this isn't it. It's the same. I'm walking out of here. I'm not paying for this. I'm never eating here again. Goodbye.
That tastes good, as it should. I'm addicted. It doesn't taste bad. I think my taste buds have been had. Don't make my foods restrictive. What do you think? How's it vibe in your mouth? Mouth watering, or does it go south? I point my fork at you. I'm thrilled at how good this meal is. I made for you. Wait, why do you look so blue? What's gotten into you? You're pointing your butter knife at me. You're disappointed because the meal is too soggy and overdone. Just because you can't cut the quiche and the knife is bending, you're done? What have we become? Overrun by our taste buds and their elected taste fun. Doesn't matter if the meal was homespun. A bad meal has been known in history to make a person take out a gun. In olden times, if the king, queen, emperor had a bad meal, the chef would not just be fired. The chef would be burned at the stake by fire. The next one hired a year later would also expire. And around it would go. Food becomes death-defying and treacherous. At the same time, because the taste demons already exist in everyone's mind, we protect our ways of eating and almost never give up our favorite feedings. Until one day, we're too sick enough to learn how to refeed ourselves so our bodies reverse the hands of time.
Original published medical medium information gets stolen and poached by podcast doctors, social media doctors, influencers, and medical clinics. Medical medium information has never yet been proven wrong by medical science and research. Instead, the opposite, only proven right and then taken from medical medium published material and used in the conventional and alternative health communities. Medical medium information continually sets the stage for medical science to understand chronic illness better. If you choose to share or use the original, unique content from the Medical Medium podcast, books, or Medical Medium social media, please cite where this information comes from, so others who see and learn of this information have a chance to know where it all originates, to give them an opportunity to heal, so they don't end up losing years of their life searching for answers like so many have before them. The Medical Medium information here on this podcast doesn't come from broken science, interest groups, medical funding with strings attached, botched research, lobbyists, internal kickbacks, persuaded belief systems, private panels of influencers, health field payoffs, trendy traps, or gathered bits and pieces of gimmicky confusion. Because chronic illness is exploding like never before in our modern day history, it takes a greater force than us down here. It takes a helping hand from above. Medical medium information has street cred. It's an organic movement of countless people around the world healing. More healing stories of real people not being paid to tell their life-changing experiences of rising out of the ashes of sickness and entering into the light of full recovery, getting their lives back and finally healing when nothing else in the world of health could move the needle and get them better. The information on this podcast is not man-made. It comes from above, from a higher source. Whatever you believe in, whether God, the universe, the light, or the creator, or if you believe in nothing at all, that we're just floating through space together on this rock. Know that the information you hear on this podcast is separate from all the other noise out there. It comes from a different place, a pure, untampered with, advanced, clean, uncorrupted, original, primary source, a higher source, spirit of compassion.